Boker Tov, we're doing Perkei Avot, we're up to the fourth chapter, the 17th Mishnah. And we had learned last week, Rabbi Yaakov told us, the world is compared to a hallway leading up to a castle. The world to come is the castle. Then Rabbi Yaakov told us another line. He said, you're better off spending an hour in this world doing tshuva and good deeds than all of the world to come. And the pleasure of an hour in the world to come is better than all of the life here. What does that mean? Kmo shamu azal, says Rabbeinu Yonah, as our sages taught us, the Gemara in Brachos, kol ha-nevim lo nitnabu l'alimot ha-mashiach. The prophets, when they spoke about good things, they were talking about the period of the Mashiach, the Messianic era, the era when we would return to the land of Israel, have sovereignty, have our own king, rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, have a time of tranquility, living in the land of Israel. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, no one ever saw the world to come. All the prophets, all the good things they were talking about was the Messianic era. When we speak about the world to come, so then there's nothing we can compare it to that we've experienced. So everything about the Olam Haba is spiritual. It's good. It's the ultimate good. But it's not something that we can conceptualize living in this world.
Right.
And that's what David HaMelech said, peace be upon him. How awesome is the good that you've concealed on for those who have awe of you. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, may we merit to get to the world to come. So the pleasure of the world to come is better than all of this world. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah must have taken it as obvious that the beginning of the Mishnah and the end of the Mishnah don't contradict. The beginning of the Mishnah said, an hour in this world doing tshuva and good deeds is better than all of life in the world to come. And then the end of the Mishnah says, an hour enjoying the pleasantness of the world to come is better than all of life in this world. It would seem that the Mishnah in the end is comparing pleasures. The Mishnah in the beginning is comparing life. In the beginning, the Mishnah says, an hour of doing what's right in this world is better than all of life in the world to come, in the sense of accomplishment. Now, as far as your enjoyment, there you should know that all the pleasures of this world pale by comparison to the world to come. A whole lifetime of pleasure in this world doesn't add up to 1 hour of pleasure in the world to come. In the sense of pleasure, yes. In the sense of value, there's tremendous value in what we can do in this world. This world is about accomplishment. That's very important. This idea that we live for this world. Meaning, when he said in the previous Mishnah, this world is a hallway, one can walk away with the misunderstanding that I have to focus on the world to come. And then along comes this Mishnah and says, but the value of this world is tremendous. It's not all about the world to come. There are many people who say, I'd love to die in the name of Hashem. In Judaism, we say, live in the name of Hashem. Every hour that we do in tshuva, in ma'asim tovim, is of tremendous value. There's also this idea that in the end, it's a good thing to die in the name of Hashem. But that's, we don't wish it to happen too soon. We have too much to do in this world. And we value every hour. Every hour of life is precious. So
what's then the better to be in the Olam Haba, because we have all here all the suffering and all these kind of
you mean
that makes it painful?
Wait, we said in the sense of pleasure, the pleasure of being in Olam Haba is much better than Olam Hazeh. None of the pleasures here can compare to the pleasure there. Your pleasure, you should realize you're going to a place that's much better. If you add up all the pleasure of life in this world, it doesn't equal everything you enjoyed your whole life here, doesn't equal 1 hour in the world to come. So the pleasure we'll have in the world to come is much greater than anything we know in this world.
It sounds like there's one exception to the rule,
yeah.
And that is the ability to do tshuva in this world.
Who says that's pleasure? That's value. Again, I'm explaining. Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't spell it out.
The value of the pleasure in the world to come.
Well, that's a good question. That's a good question. I don't have an answer for that. But I want to go back to the first point, tshuva and ma'asim tovim. Very often, people prepare wills before they die, and very often it's a good idea if done smartly and halachically correct. There are many instances where it's wonderful. It saves the family from fighting afterwards. Things are arranged. It saves the family from paying excessive taxes. You could set up your assets in a way that things can work smoothly and a minimal amount gets lost to taxes. And very often people in their wills also have to put in or want to put in what should happen in the case that they are on life support. Do they say at some point just stop fighting to keep us alive? Do they say fight to the very end, even if there's a chance one in the million that we'll come back from whatever state we're in, fight for us? Do they say if we're in a state where we're not too cognizant, then don't fight for us to remain? There are situations where the doctors tell a person, even if we save the person's life, they're going to come back and they're going to live a life where there's going to be serious retardation, or the person will live what they call the life of a vegetable, where the body will function but the mind is not with it. Where do we go with this? Mm-hmm. So I'll share with you a story that happened once. A person calls up. Their parent had a massive stroke, and the doctors said there was so much bleeding in the brain they couldn't stop it. When it stopped, so they said the person would probably pass away within a number of days, and they could prolong it to maybe a week or two, but the person would never come back. The person would never, they'd never come back, meaning it was over. So the person's lying in bed, and the family members, some of them were Torah observant Jews, and some of them were completely unaffiliated. So the person's children, when they came to visit him, they were impressed to see that the person reacted to them. I think he could move one finger or something like that, or he could blink with his eyes. I don't remember exactly what he can do, but they'd ask him, do you know who we are? If you do, we'll say, blink with both eyes, and suddenly he'd blink with both eyes. They'd say, is it cold, or are you comfortable? If you're comfortable, blink with both eyes. He'd blink with both eyes. They'd say, are you uncomfortable? If you're uncomfortable, blink with both eyes. And then he wouldn't blink with both eyes. Meaning they tested it, and they could see that to some degree he was with them. And then came the question, how long do they fight to prolong his life?
Yeah.
And so they tried discussing it with him. Do you understand what's going on? And to some degree he indicated he does understand. And then came the question, should they try to extend his life? And they asked him if he's in pain, and he answered yes. And then he fell asleep, and they lost contact with him for a little bit. So he had answered them that he is in pain. Now, this was a person who had led a life of an atheist. And now his children, who are Torah observant Jews, are standing with him in his final hours, in his final days, And they're asking, should we prolong his life by an hour, by a day, by a week? The most they could prolong it by was 2 weeks. And the basic approach that the halachic authorities who were consulted gave was, they said to the people, maybe your father is doing tshuva right now. You see he's capable of thinking. You see he's capable of communicating with you. He didn't give you a directive what he wants you to do right now. By the time you were able to ask him, he was out. By the time, and right now you don't know how cognizant he is or isn't. So our Mishnah says, if a person can have an hour in this world of tshuva and ma'isim tovim, he has more value than all of the world to come. So you don't know. You don't know how much he's suffering right now. You don't know how much he's cognizant right now. It could very well be that he's spending his final hours doing tshuva, saying, Rabbon Shalom, I ask forgiveness for everything I've done. And the son said, that two things. A, that's what he was davening for. He said, when his father was in that state, that's what he was davening for, that at least in this state of semi-consciousness where he's not communicating with them anymore, but they're not sure if he's awake or sleeping or where he's holding, at least during this time he should be doing Chuvan Masim Tavim. Now that's a very smart thing to be davening for, that his father in his final hours should really come to. And then in reality the person on his own passed away a day later. They didn't have to reach that grueling decision whether to extend or not extend. He passed away on his own. But that's what they were davening for during his final day. This Mishnah. Let him at least have these hours of tshuva and ma'asim tovim, which Chazal tell us is greater value than all of the world to come.